Welcome to A Christian and a Buddhist Walk Into a Bar. My name is Jamal and I'm a Buddhist.
My name's Jacob. I am a Christian. And Jamal, you're wearing a flying alpaca t-shirt this evening.
That's true. That's true.
I like it.
It's called the alpaca. And it's a pack of alpacas.
Is that John Lennon on the right?
Maybe. I'm not sure. It could be.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Picked it up.
It's a pack of
alpacas. Yeah. I like it. Jacob, I might have asked you this question before. I can't remember, but it's worth asking again for today. How often do you think about the Roman Empire?
There's not a minute goes past I don't think about the
You're
Roman
constantly
Empire. I'm constantly thinking about the Roman Empire.
Hey, there we go. I legitimately heard that as a meme, and I was like, I don't think I have thought about the Roman Empire more than once or twice in a year.
I used to read Asterix books.
Yeah.
I have some Asterix books. I quite enjoy Asterix. Yeah. So that gets one thinking about the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the deeper things of life follow.
For sure. And now we're talking, I realize we absolutely have done this exact introduction before.
Yeah, we have.
And I think that lends itself to a good explanation for why it's bad to think a lot about the Roman Empire, because it shows a lack of originality. You're just constantly, you know, just stuck in the
men,
same thought pattern.
Famously unoriginal. Yeah,
yeah. Just like, oh, yeah, that Roman Empire thing, right? Yeah, exactly. So apologies, dear listeners, for being unoriginal. But it does lead in to the fact that we are constantly thinking about the Roman Empire today. Jacob, you're going to tell me about Constantine.
I certainly am. So we talked about Ashoka like 20 episodes ago or something, and dubbed him the Buddhist Constantine. And we did that entirely without talking about the actual Constantine. So we thought it might be interesting to do a bit of a deep dive into, well, who was Constantine and why does he matter? And why should you think, well, it's not really why should you think about the Roman Empire, but obviously the Roman Empire has had a huge impact on the Western world more generally, and Christianity specifically, because, Jesus was born and lived in a province of the Roman Empire, was crucified by the Roman Empire, and Christianity kind of rose as a faith within the Roman Empire and beyond, it must be said as well. But you get to the time...
It became the Holy Roman Empire even.
Well, which was neither holy nor Roman nor an empire, famously. but so you get to this time in the early 4th century, the 300s AD, where a guy called Constantine comes to power. And depending on how you read your history, either everything is wonderful after that or he destroys Christianity forever.
Okay, so talk me through that. Like, what... Firstly, who was Constantine, and B, why was he great and or terrible?
So Constantine was basically the guy who restores the Roman Empire.
From
not being very good anymore.
Okay, so this was when it was an empire, right? So it wasn't post-Roman Republic.
Well, so it's well and truly post-Roman Republic. So the Roman Empire begins around, I think it's around 30 BC, something like that. The guy called Julius Caesar comes along and the Republic ends and you start to have emperors.
Sure.
So that's been going on for some 250, 300 years by this point. And what's happened is that the Roman Empire has become a bit decadent. There's a lot of infighting, but also the classic things that happen when you have a one-party state, right? Like you've got princelings and you've got patronage, and so people who should not necessarily be getting jobs are getting jobs because of their political connections and all of this stuff. And obviously if you've got generals who are just there because they've got a good surname and they're not very good at generaling, you're going to lose some battles. A lot of tax breaks have been given to a lot of people in order to keep people in charge, and so it becomes difficult to pay for the armies and all of this stuff. And basically, the thing is falling apart.
Right. So along comes Constantine.
Along comes Constantine, and there's actually a kind of civil war, and he wins the civil war. He marches into Rome at some point, and he has a conversion experience.
So is this before or after he takes power?
This is before he takes power. So he's a monotheist kind of before this, which was unusual but becoming more popular in the Roman Empire at the time. So he believes in kind of one God and not all the many Greek gods that the Romans stole from the Greeks. So
can I sort of delve into theologically here? Before he converts to Christianity, does he believe in like one Roman god? Is he like a Satanist or something? It's just
he believes in this guy called Sol Invictus, okay. Who may or may not be Jupiter in another guise, sure. Right? And then he has this dream where I think it's either Jesus or an angel, but one of them appears to him and tells him to fight to put this particular symbol on his shields, and if they put and the symbol happens to be a Christian symbol, and they put that on the shields and they win the battle. And so he converts to Christianity kind of through that process. It's unclear whether he wakes up the next morning and goes, I am definitely a Christian, or kind of whether it happens a little bit over time. So he becomes a Christian, wins the Civil War, and then all of a sudden Christianity has a seat at the table in the Roman Empire in a way that it has never had before.
He has the seat at the table at that point if he's the emperor.
Well, like, yes and no, and this is a contested bit, right? Because he's the emperor and he's a Christian, but also the people who hold religious authority within Christianity are bishops. And the bishops can't really – you can't have a bishop telling the emperor what to do, right, because he's the emperor. But you also have this awkward position where, well, can the emperor tell the bishops what to do? So and there's some – infighting happening in the church at the time. There's a few what we would now call heresies floating around, particularly the one that says Jesus not quite God, and basically Constantine, depending on your view, he gets the bishops together and tells them, guys, sort this out, actually, like, work out what you believe and what you don't believe, and, you know, let's fix this once and for all. Or the other view is that he gets the bishops together and tells them, this is what you all believe now, and that's what breaks Christianity. So the argument goes.
Right. Yeah. And so he's essentially – so does he come to power and immediately instill Christianity in as the kind of state religion in Rome?
He never quite instills Christianity as a state religion. And in the early years, while he's still consolidating his rule, it's actually fairly ambiguous as to what he believes or not. Like, the Roman Senate put up this monument to him saying, look at our wonderful liberator who came and won the Civil War. And they're really vague about the God who has empowered him to do this. Sure. But the background to this and part of what's going on in the Civil War is there's been a conflict between Christians and non-Christians in the Roman Empire. So the gods were the patron deities of Rome. So Jupiter and Mars and like all of these that, like I said, the Greek gods that the Romans stole for whatever reason. And if things aren't going well for the Roman Empire, that must be because they've offended the gods in some way. So the solution to this is to make a whole bunch of sacrifices to the gods.
Right.
So everyone in the Roman Empire is supposed to go and make sacrifices to Jupiter and so on in their local temples, and the Christians don't do this.
Yeah.
Ergo, it is the Christians' fault that everything is going wrong with the Roman Empire. And so in the 50-ish years, a little less than that, before Constantine, there are the most systematic,
persecutions?
Thank you. Yeah. There's the most systematic persecutions of Christianity that happen in the whole of the Roman Empire, and it doesn't work because the Roman Empire is still failing. And
right,
so there's this big spiritual but also political problem because the spirituality and the politics are kind of tied in together.
Right, so Christians are the scapegoats. You feed them to the lions and it doesn't actually appease the gods.
Yep.
And then, they're in this weird situation. And then you have Constantine who's, you know, if not instilling a Christian state, is, I'm assuming, overtly a Christian
by the end of his reign,
when he's in power. Yep. So how then does that, how does that then track? Like, does Constantine hand over the reins of power and immediately, also imbue with it a Christian lens to that? Or, like, how does that then work, that Christianity takes that seat at the table and then turns that into the papacy and all of that kind of thing that's going on after that, right?
Yeah, and well, and so the papacy arguably may or may not really exist at this time. Like, so there's a few bishops that have considerable historical power by this time. So the bishop of Antioch, the bishop of Alexandria, the bishop of Rome, and the bishop of Rome is kind of like the first amongst equals, yep. but not the pope as we know it today. And the flaw in the Constantine messed everything up argument is that that takes a couple of hundred years right. to work its way through the system. And there's still a bit of tension between church and state, certainly under Constantine. But I guess it's like power anywhere.
So is the church rising in Italy in the Roman Empire at this time kind of almost independently of the state, or is it just... Yeah, obviously it's supported by the fact that it's no longer being persecuted. I imagine Constantine probably put a stop to the persecution of Christians.
Yeah.
But like, is it kind of on its own trajectory alongside, you know, is it almost like that getting a Roman Empire in Constantine is actually more of a reflection on the growth of Christianity in Rome rather than... Because I think historically I've been told the story as Constantine stepped in and suddenly just made Rome... Christian, right? And it was this kind of, you know, the great man of history version of things where it's just like he's coming in and that's becoming Christianity and now Rome is now just a Christian state. Whereas the story you're telling to me implies a kind of a concurrent movement where Constantine is almost, he's the first Roman emperor that's Christian, but that's just because Christianity happens to be growing and they happen to have converted someone who just so happens to become the emperor.
Yeah, and that's basically it. I'm seeing if I can find the exact number here, but the number of Christians in the Roman Empire at the time when Constantine comes to power is estimated to be it's somewhere between 30% and 60% of the Roman Empire right. are so Christians at this point, including
people,
in the army and
most
stuff.
Most people,
right?
Anyway. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Right. Okay. So,
and it, which is partly why. There's you have this problem that the Christians aren't sacrificing to the like because there's so many of them. Yeah.
So can I ask then what is leading this rise in Christianity in Rome at this time? And you're not allowed to say the work of God,
the Holy Spirit. But no, I'm so glad you asked, Jamal. Yeah. Because there's two answers to this question, and the one is well, turns out that Christianity is true. and that, you know, the Holy Spirit is doing something pretty powerful. But along with that, there's a couple of sociological explanations. One which applies also to Mormonism, interestingly, in the US, which is that once you reach a kind of critical point in the population, I think it's around 10% or so, like a growth trajectory is just a thing that happens because it's more normal now
right.
to be. So you have some form of a combination of social pressure and it's not as weird to be of that religion and so on and so forth. But that's the argument that Rodney Stark makes in The Rise of Christianity. The argument that Tom Holland makes in his book Dominion, which 100% recommend.
I mean, I broadly like Tom Holland, so I'm just going to agree with whatever this argument is before it's said it, but yeah.
Well, and he says that essentially the Roman Empire is ready for something like Christianity sure. at this point. That Greek philosophy, which was still, you know, the top-notch philosophy at the time, has come around to this idea that there is, you know, just... one God makes the most logical sense of the universe. This is Aristotle's unmoved mover. So Aristotle and Plato have been pointing in this direction and the intellectual elites have got there.
So Tom Holland, you've lost me at backing Aristotle and Plato here, but yeah, okay.
Well, no, but this is just the zeitgeist sure, of the yeah, time, yeah. right? But Judaism is inaccessible because of a bunch of Jewish cultural practices and and what happens with Christianity is you have... an acceptable kind of monotheism, which does two things. It meets a philosophical need that's kind of present at the time, but also like, and we see this in places like India at the moment as well, actually, like if you're at the bottom of the pile, if you're a slave or you're a whatever, like this narrative of actually slaves have dignity and the first shall be last and the last shall be first and all of that stuff has a great deal of appeal.
Yeah, and so I wonder if this is tied into an argument that we made a few weeks ago, which I quite like, is this whole thing about that really at its core, Christianity is quite progressive, right? Yeah. And so, if you're having a society that is becoming more progressive, that is, providing greater rights to previously disenfranchised people, to, if you're expanding your circle, so to speak,
Christians build the first public hospitals in Europe.
Yeah, right? There's a natural inclination then towards a religion that is more progressive, right? I think the same can be said for one of the big reasons why Islam has grown so massively in the 20th century in most of the non-European world. Because it's this idea where you've got cultures that are inherently becoming more egalitarian and you're identifying a religion that actually matches the sentiment of those cultures more so than traditional religions, which might be more hierarchical, structured, at least in the Asian parts of the world, more kind of, family, ancestry, worship kind of things, right? Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, are there things about Constantine that I think that you think are commonly misunderstood? Like the things that you have the floor with Constantine here. Like, what would you like to correct?
Well, I think the big thing that is misunderstood, the two big things. So one that you mentioned that kind of Constantine forces everyone to be Christian.
Right.
He definitely makes it a lot easier to be Christian. And this whole move sets up the situation where there is social advantage in being a Christian, which there was not before.
Sure.
And that leads to, we've talked about power on this show before, and I think...
Sorry, power? What is a power?
Yeah, good, yeah. And so in my view, what then happens to Christianity is it doesn't give its power away fast enough, right? But the other one is the idea that Constantine was never really Christian.
Right.
And he just kind of adopted it out of political convenience. And, he's played the Christians, as it were, in this. And, definitely he was a brilliant politician. We know less about the internal intrigue in the court of Constantine than we know about basically any other Roman emperor, because he was just that good at his propaganda. But it seems to me that he did have a genuine religious experience, and he genuinely understood that to be Christianity. He was just in the awkward position where he couldn't submit to bishops, but also the bishops kind of couldn't quite submit to him, certainly not on theological matters.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Because I don't know. I think it's one of those.
And he still does wars and other stuff.
Who doesn't?
So my hot take on Constantine is that he's an emperor first and a Christian second.
Right. And I mean, it sounds like he was just a fairly run-of-the-mill, decent Roman emperor.
Probably one of the best.
Right.
Okay. He founds the city of Constantine, which then becomes Istanbul and, all of that.
Constantinople.
And he makes that his capital so that he can get away from Rome and secure a different power. This becomes the Byzantium Empire, right? That is the one that lasts after Rome falls. And he establishes that as a thing.
Okay, right. So he really is then up there with some of the better rulers and maybe the ones with the
most
foresight.
In terms of competence,
The most foresight. What's his relationship then to Keanu Reeves?
Keanu Reeves thinks about the Roman Empire constantly, and that's so Keanu Reeves knows many things about Constantine. They're both handsome devils.
Or the 2005 film Constantine, starring Keanu Reeves.
Oh, there we go.
I was setting you up for that one.
Yeah, sorry. That's
fine.
Exposed brutally my paucity of pop culture reference.
Yeah, well, there you go. Although that does remind me of a time a Christian and Buddhist walked into a bar and they ran into Nasruddin again. Nasruddin's hanging out quite a lot at the bar these days. And Nasruddin's like, oh man, I just got back from time traveling. And like, and you know, it's like, oh, where'd you go? It's like, I went back to the Roman Empire, of course. Yeah, like all white men, I've been thinking about the Roman Empire. And
isn't Nasrud in white?
No, he was Turkish.
Yeah.
But yeah, and so they go, okay, like, what'd you find there? I was like, well, it was kind of cool, but like, actually, really, I really was hankering for some McDonald's, and like, couldn't find any. There was no McDonald's in the Roman Empire. I'm like, oh, like, why is that? And they said, oh, well, there's just too much grease in it.
Yeah. Do you have other questions about Constantine?
Yeah, I the other question about Constantine.
The Roman Empire, like,
I mean, I absolutely early Christianity. I actually do not want to talk about the Roman Empire, but I guess like Constantine is, I guess, held up in Christian circles as a bit of a, maybe not a saint, but like as somebody who does do a lot for Christianity. Like, what is it about that other than him just being the first, you know, Christian ruler?
No, look, that's the big thing,
right?
Really, like, and he, like I said, he gives Christianity a seat at the table. The getting together of the bishops and the sorting out those heresies and that kind of thing, that's actually really significant in the development of Christianity. It's probably where the criticism of Constantine, which I have to say comes from Christians as much as from anywhere else, but where the criticism of Constantine comes is because that then allows the church to institutionalize or institutionalize more. So the first of the like really big statements of faith, like the creeds of the church, is the Nicene Creed, comes from this time. It's Constantine getting all the bishops together and saying, sort your stuff out. And they articulate the doctrine of the Trinity, amongst other things, and that Jesus is divine and this kind of stuff, which is, it's not new, but it hasn't been said in a way that is like literally pretty much all of the bishops in the world, except the ones that get condemned as heretics, but coming together and saying, this is what we collectively agree on.
It's like a really high stakes like voting thing where like you're either with the majority or you're out.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It dogmatizes Christianity for the first time, maybe.
Or allows Christianity to dogmatize. Yeah, there's an extent to which that's true. It's not like there weren't heretics before, and Christians had asked the Roman emperor to intervene before to say, hey, this group's right and this group's wrong. And sometimes they had and sometimes they hadn't, despite the fact that none of them were Christians, right? It definitely dogmatizes it. Famously,
the Romans refused to intervene in that way when it comes to the case of Jesus, right?
Yeah, exactly right, yeah. It probably normalizes Christians serving as magistrates or in the army or that kind of, like, there's a really strong view in Christianity around 190-200 AD that you can't be a Christian and be a soldier,
right?
Which is as much about having to idolize the emperor as it is about the not killing people bit. But so it normalizes some of that stuff that you're like, well, should Christians be serving in the army? Should that just be a thing?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not quite sure Christianity has ever been the super pacifist religion about not killing people. It's like,
No?
Well, I mean, Jesus taught the, you know, just support people. I feel like I cannot think of a time in history where Christianity as a institution has not been somewhat down with killing people.
Well, see, this is the thing, is that in the first couple of hundred years of Christianity, like, there's a really strong pacifist bent. Like, and you know, pacifism today, I would argue, comes out of Christianity in a whole bunch of ways.
I would absolutely say
that
that's
like,
in line with Jesus' teachings, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, like, yeah.
So I think, if I'm hearing you rightly, that you would probably fall broadly into Constantine effed it up in this sense, right? Because I don't think we have too much evidence of the first couple of hundred years of Christianity of it being particularly there's the occasional beating each other with sticks and stuff, but
Right. Yeah. So yeah, but the Christian cults that are running around the, you know,
they're not going on crusades or that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that, to my mind, that's actually a really significant difference between early Christianity and early Islam.
Right.
Is that the Muslims kind of the Prophet Muhammad himself, peace be upon him, like goes around, you know, conquering cities and doing this kind of stuff, and Christianity in the first couple of hundred years after Jesus just doesn't, as far as we can tell.
Yeah, which makes sense, right? I can see the teachings of Jesus being pacifist leaning, and then as soon as you start to institutionalize and start to, you know, control power and that kind of thing, then, you know, you suddenly realize that, oh, actually we have an in here to start metering out violence and getting our way a little bit.
Yeah, that's it. Like, because like you were saying before, Christians being thrown to the lions and that kind of thing, and they took it in some sense as like a, not a mark of honor to be thrown to the lions, but a mark of honor to die well, that is like kind of not fighting back and just, you know, being passively not resisting the violence that was done to them.
Yeah, nice.
That was the thing, yeah.
I mean, look, I'm happy to passively not resist an early end to this particular episode of the podcast, unless you have anything else you want to raise about Constantine and our old buddy, old pal over there.
I'm sure there were more things that we could raise, but they're not leaping into my mind, unlike the Roman Empire, which has taken up residence.
I would also argue that this podcast is a great example for why the Roman Empire is boring as shit.
You reckon?
It's just overdone. Civil
wars.
It's just overdone. Like I don't know. Like, yeah, it feels to me deeply Eurocentric to be super focused on the Roman Empire, and like, absolutely, there are interesting things, but like, I mean, come on, let me talk about the rise and fall of the multiple Chinese empires in a much more interesting way than the Roman Empire.
Maybe. Conquest of Greece was kind of cool. The life of Caesar, like that's fun.
We can agree to disagree, and you, my friends, can write in to us at christianbuddhistbar@gmail.com with your thoughts about the validity and usefulness of the Roman Empire.
And other questions you have about Constantine, things you think that we missed.
Yes, and Kevin MacLeod, if you like him, you can write fan mail to him via us if you like, or you can probably just find him.
Sure, yourself. Yeah, Jamal, you can forward that.
Yeah, sounds good.
We'll see you next week.